Buddhist monk with a soft smile and kind eyes, never bothered by anything? Are all of my clients living like this after working with me for a handful of sessions? Through my live streaming and YouTube videos, am I creating a world full of peaceful millennial angels? Absolutely not. We're all human, and this conditioning goes deep. But I get better at it every day, and I'm 100 million times better than I used to be. Honestly, that's the only reason my life is as good as it is today. In fact, the quality of my life today is a dead-on accurate barometer of just how far I've come in implementing this first step of taking responsibility. This has been the case for all of my private clients too. And because you're sticking with this process, it will be the case for you too. Blame has risen to a deafening crescendo in today's world, which means powerlessness is at an all-time high. That needs to change. I took responsibility by writing this book, and you're taking responsibility by implementing what you learn as you listen. Let's do this. Self-hypnosis process, taking responsibility for our actions. You can find the written version of the script in the PDF that comes with your program. I suggest reading through the directions 2 or 3 times so that you will easily remember what to do once you close your eyes and get free. While listening to the audio version, you can just close your eyes, sit back, and relax as you follow along. However, please never listen to hypnosis while driving. If you're driving right now, please skip ahead to the next chapter and come back to follow along with this self-hypnosis process once you're in a safe place. Begin by making note of your starting stress level. 10 equals a full-blown panic attack, and 0 equals 0 stress, no stress at all, the most relaxed a person can possibly be. Remember this number. Sit in a comfortable chair and place your feet on the ground, resting your hands gently in your lap. With your spine straight but comfortable and your eyes closed, take 4 deep, slow breaths, inhaling through your nose for 4 counts and exhaling through your nose for 8 counts. Let's begin. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. With your eyes still closed, imagine gentle roots growing from the bottom of your feet down into the center of the earth, grounding you. Good. Now imagine a color you love flowing in through the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, and down those roots, down into the center of the earth. Now bring all your focus and awareness and attention to the palms of your hands. Perhaps you can feel your palms tingling. Perhaps you can feel your heartbeat in your hands. Perhaps you notice a sensation of expansion in your hands. Just notice and breathe for a few moments while I'm silent. Good. Now repeating silently in your mind or out loud after me. 10. I am going deeper and deeper. 9. I am going deeper and deeper. 8. I am going deeper and deeper. 7. I am going deeper and deeper. 6. I am going deeper and deeper. 5. I am going deeper and deeper. 4. I am going deeper and deeper. 3. I am going deeper and deeper. 2. I am going deeper and deeper. 1. I am going deeper and deeper. Take another nice, deep, letting go breath and continue repeating silently in your mind after me or out loud the following hypno-affirmations. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. I take responsibility. I reclaim my power. My life is mine to create. Take another nice, deep, letting go breath and imagine feeling more powerful than you've ever felt. Pretend in your mind that you are replacing any negative actions with positive actions for the rest of your day until you curl up into bed tonight. Do that now while I am silent. Good. Now that you've spent a few moments imagining the rest of your day filled with feeling powerful and positive actions, imagine the same color as before flowing in through the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, and down those roots into the center of the earth. Put a gentle smile on your lips, open your eyes, stretch your arms over the top of your head, and say yes! Notice your new number on the scale. Remember 0 equals 0 stress, the most relaxed you can be, and congratulate yourself on how quickly you improved your state. Here is a simple summary of the process. Notice starting stress level from 0 to 10. Take 4 deep, slow breaths. Grow roots. Color. Notice your palms. Count down from 10 to 1, saying, I'm going deeper and deeper after each number. Repeat the hypno-affirmations, I take responsibility, I reclaim my power, my life is mine to create, 10 times. With your eyes closed, imagine feeling more powerful than ever while taking positive action for the rest of the day. Color. Smile while opening your eyes and say yes. Notice a new number on the scale of 0 to 10. Congratulate yourself for improving your state so quickly. Next steps. Excellent. You have completed one of my favorites, the taking responsibility self-hypnosis process. Now, go ahead and visit www.closeyoureyesgetfree.com to access this chapter's longer hypnosis recording. Sit back, relax, and close your eyes, get free. After you listen to the recording, please let me know how it went. Using the hashtag #closeyoureyesgetfree on Instagram or Twitter, message me at GraySmithTV your starting and ending numbers on the stress scale. By using the hashtag, you'll get to see how other people are improving right alongside you, plus I will have an opportunity to cheer you on. Move on to chapter 6 and look out for all of the wonderful benefits you're already starting to receive as a result of learning the power of hypnosis. Chapter 6, the second step, taking responsibility for your thoughts. Every morning when Susan woke up, the first thing she felt was dread, followed by panic. Her heart began to race before she even got out of bed. The kids needed to get dressed. Had they finished their homework last night? Off the top of her head, she knew she hadn't responded to 2 texts and 3 emails. Were the senders waiting for her response? Were they angry with her for not responding? This particular morning, Susan knew her husband would be in a bad mood come evening if his pitch didn't go well at work, so she rolled over and said, "Good luck today." "Great," he said in a sleepy voice. "I can't even have a moment's peace when I'm not reminded of work. Thanks a lot." He threw the covers back and got out of bed. Then he huffed and puffed as he brushed his teeth and washed his face. "I can't win," she thought to herself. Suddenly she remembered she had to return a pair of pants that didn't fit her youngest son. After getting everyone off to school and work, she headed to the office. Her boss sent an email at 9:01 a.m. "I didn't hear back regarding my request for the charity donors list yesterday. Please advise." Her heart ached for a moment. She quickly pulled the list with the right criteria from the database, alphabetized it, and printed it with the header the way her boss liked it. As Susan handed the list to her boss, she said, "I'm so sorry for the delay." Her boss smiled and said, "No worries." But she still worried. During her lunch break, she drove to the mall feeling nervous the entire way, as if all the other cars were only moments from hitting her. She wasn't sure, but she thought she might be drifting too close to the line. She felt as if she constantly had to steady her car and right herself, as if her autopilot was set to mistakes. When she got to the mall, she felt as if everyone was looking at her. A few men said hello. Since she was hardly ever in public without her husband, the sudden attention made her nervous, sad, and even angry. Susan didn't prepare to be looked at, and she wasn't prepared to say hello to anyone. She wanted to get back in her car to just be alone. She wanted her heart to stop beating so quickly, to stop aching. God forbid I had any real problems. How could I handle an actually difficult life? Everything is perfect, so why am I so upset? She thought. She felt guilty that she just couldn't be happy or at peace. Even though her children were healthy, she was the last of her close friends still to be married, and they could pay their bills. When she returned to the office, she grabbed a cup of coffee in the break room. She knew the coffee would only make her nerves worse, but she felt foggy, as if she wasn't thinking clearly. She overheard one of the staff nurses say, "I had a hypnotherapy session 2 weeks ago, and I haven't had to take Ambien since. I can actually sleep." That night, she and her family had a relatively nice dinner together with almost no voices raised. After the dishes, she started to worry around 7 p.m. that she wouldn't be able to sleep. She knew that the thought of not being able to sleep made it harder to fall asleep, but she couldn't stop the worrying or break the cycle. She was about to get up for her melatonin when she remembered the mention of hypnotherapy at the office. She decided to make an appointment in the morning. 3 days later, on her way to the session, she was angry with herself. She couldn't believe she had paid up front for the session. What if it didn't work? What if she couldn't be hypnotized? The hypnotherapist asked her a few questions, after which she closed her eyes. Susan imagined every part of her body relaxing, beginning at the top of her head. She relaxed her forehead, her jaw, and the tiny muscles next to her eyes. She relaxed her shoulders, arms, and legs, and she began to breathe deeply and slowly. The hypnotherapist counted backward, slowly, and for the first time in what felt like a lifetime, her heart began to feel better. The pain in her chest lessened and lessened until it was gone. She felt as though she could really breathe. The hypnotherapist then told her to put her worries in a box at night, where she could always sort through them and pick out whatever she'd like to work on one at a time. In the bedroom, however, worries would be prohibited. They were to be placed in the box. The box was to stay outside the bedroom, perhaps on the mantel or under a chair. "I'll put it in the pantry," she told the hypnotherapist. "Very good. That's exactly right," the hypnotherapist responded. "Now that you've put the box in the pantry, it's easy and effortless for you to fall asleep. It's easy and effortless for you to fall asleep at night. You sleep easily and effortlessly through the night. If you happen to get up to use the bathroom, you'll fall right back asleep as soon as your head touches your pillow. It's easy and effortless for you to sleep. You have a wonderful night's sleep, and because of this, you wake up the next day feeling completely rested, clear-headed, happy, and full of energy. It's easy and effortless for you to sleep now." After her session, Susan went home and had her best night's sleep since she was a child. When she woke up the next morning, the first thing she noticed was that her heart felt better. She thought about her children and smiled. She turned toward her still sleeping husband and didn't say a thing. As she was brushing her teeth, she looked at herself in the mirror. Today was going to be a better day. How taking responsibility for your thoughts differs from affirmations. What you're going to learn in this chapter is how to choose better thoughts. At first glance, this might sound a lot as though we're headed down the road of daily affirmations, but we're not. Everything about the close your eyes, get free process is about accessing and transforming your subconscious mind directly. Daily affirmations are fabulous, but they only directly reach the level of the conscious mind, which means it takes a long, long time for them to impact your subconscious. Anyone who has practiced them knows it. You might feel better for a short time, but the underlying issue remains unless you repeat those bad boys 600 times per day for a week, at least. Typically, people give up well before that happens. The difference here is that we use hypnoaffirmations during our self-hypnosis scripts, which means that you have already reached the theta brainwave state before we begin the conditioning process. Because you have already reached your subconscious mind, where your thoughts, habits, and beliefs reside, much less repetition is required. Usually 10 to 21 repetitions per day does the trick. This is the difference between taking the Concorde to get where you're going or a rowboat. Affirmations on their own might get you there, but affirmations used during a hypnosis session are a much faster, smoother ride. We've covered affirmations. Now let's discuss vision boards. They're powerful, but looking at a picture of a house with a pool and tennis courts all day long isn't going to get you that house if your subconscious beliefs are, "It's unsafe to be rich," or "I'm not smart enough and I can't do it." It's like having a hidden Mount Everest of limiting beliefs that you have to traverse before your actions will match your desired outcome. What you'll learn here is that hypnotherapy, and specifically the Close Your Eyes, Get Free process, will clear the way for vision boards, affirmations, and every other awesome law of attraction tool to be infinitely more powerful and effective. In this chapter, I'm going to show you step by step the exact process that I've been using for years to live my best life and overcome habits that drove me nuts for a long time. We all know that if just taking responsibility for our actions were enough, every time we listened to an audiobook and felt inspired by the action steps, we would actually do them for a lifetime. When was the last time that happened in your life? There's something that comes before our actions, and it gets in their way. It's our thoughts. Remember that we're working our way backward from what's most obvious, the actions, to what's most subtle, our subconscious beliefs. Right now, we're smack dab in the middle at our conscious thoughts. Have you ever wondered why, for example, when you really want to finish a project, you procrastinate? We've actually been conditioned to procrastinate, to have fear, and to doubt that we can be successful. Why do people who know that smoking is unhealthy continue to smoke? They really want to quit, but they haven't been able to do it. No matter how much we want to change, no matter how many books we read, and no matter how many seminars we attend, unless we meet those beliefs where they live in the subconscious mind, they can never change for the long run. Let's get some practical application under your belt so that the mechanism behind it makes even more sense later on. Attempting to change a subconscious belief through conscious action is like trying to clean the bottom of the ocean by vacuuming inside your living room. It's never going to happen. You can vacuum until the floorboards have been worn thin, and you'll still never reach the depths of the ocean. So you might be asking yourself now, how the heck do I accomplish this reconditioning? Is there something wrong with me? And as I said in Chapter 5, this isn't your fault. We've all been conditioned for 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 years, depending on our age. So no matter how badly you want to change, to truly accomplish it, we also have to recondition our mind in the same way that it was conditioned in the first place. Our subconscious mind can be either our greatest ally or worst enemy, depending on its conditioning. The bottom line is that we have to take responsibility for our mindset. Our thoughts result in actions, but the thoughts themselves have energy behind them. Thoughts are extremely powerful. It's vital that we take responsibility for our thoughts because the actions can only get us so far. Our mindset is the first step toward creating our best life. What happens if we start taking great actions but our thoughts are still negative? There's a distance between what we're doing in the world and what we're thinking, and that creates a lot of tension and frustration. For example, I'm taking responsibility for my actions, but there's still so much negativity in my mind. What's going on here? I'm so mad at myself for continuing to think thoughts that aren't good for me. If you're experiencing this, it's okay. Frequently, when you first become aware of something like this, it seems to get worse before it gets better. This is simply because you're more aware of it. So take a nice, deep, letting go breath and allow yourself to become aware of the fact that you're in excellent company when you decide to improve your thoughts. A few thoughts on thoughts. Luminaries throughout time have said some fascinating things about our thoughts and the mind. Here are a few to inspire you as you begin to take responsibility for what you think. Aristotle, the energy of the mind is the essence of life. Earl Nightingale, whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish with repetition and emotion will one day become a reality. Albert Einstein, physical concepts are free creations of the human mind and are not, however it may seem, uniquely determined by the external world. Charlie Chaplin, even when I was in the orphanage, when I was roaming the street trying to find enough to eat, even then I thought of myself as the greatest actor in the world. I had to feel the exuberance that comes from utter confidence in yourself. Without it, you go down to defeat. Clearly, this concept that our thoughts create our external world has been around since the beginning of philosophical discussion. We're simply adding a fresh coat of paint and some deeper context to it. It's all well and good to know that our thoughts create our external world, but if our thoughts are involuntarily negative, this information simply adds anxiety to an already overwhelming sense of powerlessness. We need to know both that our thoughts create our world and how to choose our repeated habitual thoughts so that they're in alignment with our goals, dreams, and ethics. The frequency of power. After having listened to the last chapter, you now understand that by taking responsibility, you're taking a position of power. When you do this again and again, you begin to build a habit as a powerful individual. This brings us to the discussion of frequency. There are certain frequencies that only dogs can hear. There are certain UV rays that only cats can see. They operate at a different frequency, as if there's a secret station on the radio that only cats and dogs know how to tune into. Some people can run multiple billion-dollar businesses, whereas others seem to accomplish very little over the course of an entire lifetime. As human beings, we have the same skeletal system, cellular makeup, and structure of the brain. The difference is that people operate at different frequencies. It comes down to the difference in the frequency of the thoughts in individuals' minds. Imagine two people growing up in the same exact conditions. Perhaps they're from the same town, the marital status of their parents is the same, and the median income of their home is about the same. But one person thinks again and again, there are endless opportunities, and actually finds those opportunities. The frequency opens the knowingness, and that person walks through the door straight into those opportunities. The other person from the same general upbringing says, the economy is bad, no one's hiring, and there are no opportunities. Because this is what this person thinks, these negative expectations turn out to be true as well. Your frequency of thought determines the lens through which you view your life, and this impacts the actions you take. Which frequency do you choose to live in? If you want to live in the highest frequency but you're still bombarded by negative thoughts, it's time to get excited, because shifting that pattern is what this chapter is all about. It's important to understand, however, that although our thoughts are creating our reality, not every thought has an earth-shattering impact on our life. Having a thought in one energetic direction and a contradictory thought a few moments later more or less cancels out the first thought, and the net sum for the two thoughts is zero. A positive thought plus a negative thought means there's neutrality, stagnation, and nothing moving forward. A negative plus a negative thought sends you backward. And a positive plus a positive thought means progress and moving forward. You probably have heard this before, but it's worth repeating. We become what we think about. Our thoughts become things, yet we still continue to take many negative vacations to complain about our day or feel sorry for ourselves. Any movement in the opposite direction either neutralizes your progress, results in stagnation, or causes you to go backward. Thanks to such books as The Secret and authors like Esther Hicks, the law of attraction is fairly common knowledge now, and the idea of keeping our thoughts positive so that we invite positive experiences into our lives is not that radical a concept. That having been said, complaining is a powerful habit that doesn't break easily, and I find that, in the beginning of our work together, even my most wellness-oriented clients tend to naturally respond to, "How are you today?" with a list of everything negative, rather than recounting the many positive aspects and improvements in their life. Consider this example of a very common scenario. Sally wakes up with a smile on her face, stretches, and looks at her vision board. She eats a healthy breakfast, she's feeling great that she's in the right frame of mind for her day. Then her mom calls and asks how she is. Because Sally is used to venting to her mother, she says, "I'm doing all right. Everything is okay. My boss was annoying on Friday. My Tinder date on Saturday was awesome, but I haven't heard back. Typical. And the check didn't clear, so I'm behind on my rent. I looked really fat in this picture my friend posted." Then, realizing all this negativity might just be attracting exactly what Sally doesn't want into her life, she quickly follows it up with, "But I'm determined to have a great day and be rich and in love and be healthy and happy." Feel energetically the degree to which Sally either plateaued, stagnated, or went backward because of that 10-second complaint fest. Now, for a moment, just imagine the best life you could live. What would it look like? Imagine it now. What is your best life? Feel the emotions your best life evokes. What are the images? What smells do you experience as you move through your best life? What do you look like in your best life? What actions must you take on a daily basis so as to live your best life? Now these actions you'll take to create that life will be the result of your thinking. So here is the most important question for you to answer. What thoughts must you be thinking all day, every day, and every moment to create your best life? Become aware of those thoughts that you must be thinking now. Is it possible to spend one more dinner complaining about college loans or politics or your ex and truly move in the direction of living your best life? This is vitally important. Now, when you slip up, do you want to spiral down a black hole of, no, I just thought a negative thought. I'm going backward. Everything is going to get out of control. I'm not creating my best life. Of course not. Every day, in every way, you're becoming more aware of your thoughts so that you can catch the ones that need to be immediately weeded out. Then you can immediately replace them with thoughts that create your best life. Remember, a negative followed by a positive is a neutral. Catch those old negative thoughts and immediately diffuse them. My favorite way to do this is to say or think, cancel, cancel. Immediately followed by a thought that moves me in the direction of my desired life. Try it now. Imagine you have the thought, ugh, what was I thinking? I'm so stupid. Then immediately think to yourself or say out loud, cancel, cancel. Immediately followed by, I'm so happy I've learned this lesson. I'll do better next time. I feel better already. This cancel, cancel tool will help you quickly clean your mental slate of all negative thoughts and fill it up with thoughts that are in alignment with the life you desire to create. Remember, this is just the second step to mental freedom. Simply training yourself to think positive thoughts instead of negative thoughts does not instantly create the life of your dreams. But without this step, transforming your actions is rendered nearly impossible. The conditioning of both your thoughts and actions are equally important parts of the equation that ultimately lead to mental freedom. Let's go ahead and do a brief self-hypnosis process that will help to transform negativity and complaints much faster than through willpower alone. Self-hypnosis process. Stop negativity and complaints. You can find the written version of the script in the PDF that comes with your program. I suggest reading through the directions 2 or 3 times so that you will easily remember what to do once you close your eyes and get free. While listening to the audio version, you can just close your eyes, sit back, and relax as you follow along. However, please never listen to hypnosis while driving. If you're driving right now, please skip ahead to the next chapter and come back to follow along with this self-hypnosis process once you're in a safe place. Begin by making note of your starting stress level. 10 equals a full-blown panic attack. And 0 equals 0 stress, no stress at all, the most relaxed a person can possibly be. Remember this number. Sit in a comfortable chair and place your feet on the ground, resting your hands gently in your lap. With your spine straight but comfortable, close your eyes. Take 4 deep, slow breaths, inhaling through your nose for 4 counts and exhaling through your nose for 8 counts. Let's begin. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4. Out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. With your eyes still closed, imagine gentle roots growing from the bottom of your feet down into the center of the earth, grounding you. Good. Now imagine a color you love flowing in through the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, down those roots, down into the center of the earth, flowing in through the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, and down those roots into the center of the earth. That's right. Now bring all of your focus and awareness and attention to the palms of your hands. Perhaps you can feel your palms tingling. Perhaps you can feel your heartbeat in your hands. Perhaps you notice a sensation of expansion in your hands. Just notice and breathe for a few moments while I am silent. Good. With your eyes still closed, repeating silently in your mind or out loud after me. 10. I am going deeper and deeper. 9. I am going deeper and deeper. 8. I am going deeper and deeper. 7. I am going deeper and deeper. 6. I am going deeper and deeper. 5. I am going deeper and deeper. 4. I am going deeper and deeper. 3. I am going deeper and deeper. 2. I am going deeper and deeper. 1. I am going deeper and deeper. Taking another nice, deep, letting go breath. Repeating silently in your mind or out loud after me the following hypnoaffirmations. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness. Take another nice, deep, letting go breath. Now imagine replacing all negative thoughts in your mind with positive thoughts for the rest of your day until you curl up into bed at night. Do this now while I'm silent. Good. Now that you've spent a few moments imagining the rest of your day filled with positive thoughts, and seeing the good in every situation, imagine the same color as before flowing in through the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, and down those roots into the center of the earth. Good. Put a gentle smile on your lips, open your eyes, stretch your arms over the top of your head, and say yes. Notice your new number on the scale. Remember 0 equals 0 stress, the most relaxed you can be, and congratulate yourself on how quickly you improved your state. Here is a simple summary of the process. Notice your starting stress level from 0 to 10. Take 4 deep breaths. Grow roots. Color. Notice your palms. Count down from 10 to 1, saying I'm going deeper and deeper after each number. Repeat the hypno affirmations. I release all negativity. My thoughts are positive. I embrace happiness 10 times. With your eyes closed, imagine thinking positive thoughts for the rest of the day. Color. Smile when opening your eyes and say yes. Notice new number on the scale from 0 to 10. Congratulate yourself for improving your state so quickly. Next steps. Excellent. You have completed your 6th self-hypnosis process. Now go ahead and visit www.closeyoureyesgetfree.com to access this chapter's hypnosis recording. Sit back, relax, and close your eyes, get free. After you listen to the recording, please let me know how it went. Using the hashtag #closeyoureyesgetfree on Instagram or Twitter, message me at GraySmithTV your starting and ending numbers on the stress scale. By using the hashtag, you'll get to see how other people are improving right alongside you. Plus, I will have an opportunity to cheer you on. Move on to Chapter 7 and continue to look out for all of the wonderful benefits you're already starting to receive as a result of learning the power of hypnosis. Chapter 7, The Third Step, How to Reprogram Your Subconscious Mind. Mr. and Mrs. Cruz were having trouble in their marriage. The vibrant love that had been there in the beginning had over the decades faded into a worn-out pastel gray. They lived in a beautiful town with low crime and great schools. Their two children had graduated and gone off to college with scholarships for both academics and athletics. On the surface, it all looked so good. Although they were proud of how they had raised their children, they didn't know what to do with each other once the kids left. Without the endless homework, practices, and friendship dramas, it was as if a microscope had been placed over their daily habits. Every little thing each did seemed to the other like nails scratching down a blackboard. Mr. Cruz hated how Mrs. Cruz never turned off the computer and refused to learn how to use anti-spyware software. He couldn't stand how her drawers always overflowed with bulky sweaters he felt should have been hung up, how she chewed gum loudly during movies, and how she always wanted to know how their investment portfolio was doing, even though she knew full well it had never fully recovered after the recession. Meanwhile, Mrs. Cruz hated how Mr. Cruz would talk with food in his mouth, how he folded his socks, how he always moved her toothbrush from the shower to the cup labeled toothbrush, even though she only brushed her teeth in the shower, and how he never seemed to hear her or care enough to truly listen. However, they did have a few things in common. They each resented that the other didn't make more money, each disliked the other's friends, and were bored to tears by the other's hobbies, chess for Mr. Cruz and paddleboarding for Mrs. Cruz. They were at a loss. They worried there was nothing left to fight for, but always so much to fight about. The thought of divorcing at their age was terrifying, but so was growing old with someone who made them feel perpetually angry. Neither of them had done anything that was an outright betrayal of their marriage. No cheating, lying, stealing, or abuse. They felt ashamed that they couldn't even pinpoint why they were so miserable, but that didn't change the fact that they were. They went to couples therapy, but Mr. Cruz felt like the therapist sided with Mrs. Cruz because she suggested they read, "Men are from Mars, women are from Venus." So they went to a male therapist, where Mrs. Cruz felt like he was siding with Mr. Cruz when he gave a knowing glance and said his wife also used gum as a way to de-stress. The next Thanksgiving morning when the kids were home, Linda, their eldest, mentioned that a girl she knew in high school had become a hypnotherapist. "Katie became a hypnotherapist?" exclaimed Mrs. Cruz. "How weird. I always thought she'd end up on Off-Broadway or something." Linda rolled her eyes. "Just because she was in the school play a few times doesn't mean she was going to end up on Off-Broadway, Mom. Anyway, we were all at the diner last night for our little reunion, and it sounds cool and like she's really helping her clients." Katie couldn't make it to the reunion, but a bunch of people from town have gone to her and told us about it. Sam got injured last season, and he said his pain level went from an 8 to a 4 after working with Katie. If he focuses on what she taught him, he says he can make it a 2. Laura told me she stopped smoking and lost 20 pounds after a few sessions, and Mary said their hypnotherapy saved her parents' marriage. Cool, right? Mr. and Mrs. Cruz shot each other a quick glance and both said, cool. Then Linda opened the fridge and the subject quickly changed to how someone had eaten all of the cranberry sauce before dinner. Mr. and Mrs. Cruz smiled, and their thoughts started to wander. 2 weeks later, after a lot of research online about hypnotherapy and a final, what do we have to lose, Mr. and Mrs. Cruz found themselves sitting in the waiting room of Katie's office, feeling extremely uncomfortable. How could someone they had over for kiddie birthday parties help them? They didn't want to open up to someone they knew from such a small town, but they also didn't know where else to turn. The only other hypnotherapist was over an hour away. Katie opened the door to her office with a big smile and said, Mr. and Mrs. Cruz, I'm so happy you're here. It's wonderful to see you. Come on in. They all smiled, and Katie gestured to 2 chairs where the couple could sit. Before we get started, I just want you to know that all sessions are 100% confidential. Unless there's something criminal or dangerous I legally need to alert the authorities about, nothing leaves this office. There are so many wonderful families from town coming here that it's important for me to share that with you. If you've heard any success stories about our practice, it's because our clients shared them, which you're welcome to do or not do. But my confidentiality clause is simple. The hypnotherapist never discusses the session with anyone from outside the session, ever. This means if you decide to have individual sessions at any point, what happens during those will never be discussed during our group sessions unless you want to bring something up. Mr. and Mrs. Cruz let out an audible sigh of relief and said, thank you. Katie smiled and said, now, what can I help you with? Mr. and Mrs. Cruz were amazed at how quickly they felt safe and comfortable during their sessions. Outside of a few neighborhood birthday parties, they hadn't known Katie all that well while she was growing up, and it was clear she knew what she was doing. But more than that, there was zero judgment in the air. After the first session, they felt so much lighter that they decided to add individual sessions. Over time, they found out that the things that drove them crazy about each other were due to years of built-up agitation as a result of completely unrelated events. When Mrs. Cruz's conscious mind saw her husband chewing with his mouth open, her subconscious mind dug up every instance over the years when he hadn't loved, cared, or respected her, and linked all of those to the chewing. The pair realized that a massive communication breakdown had taken place over time and that their marriage had taken a back seat to their kids and careers. They hadn't spent any time or energy on improving their relationship, but they'd spent a tremendous amount of time and energy complaining about it. After some time and effort focused on healing their misunderstandings and painful memories, they laughed when Katie pointed out that one of their mutual dislikes was about how the other chewed, whether food or gum. They chuckled when they realized that the tension in their marriage wasn't about folding sweaters and socks, but about years of negative programming. A few short weeks into their sessions, Mr. Cruz turned to Mrs. Cruz and said, "When you told me I wasn't listening or that I didn't hear you, you were right. I had actually developed a subconscious habit of turning down the volume, and I'm sorry. I can't imagine how painful that must have been." Mrs. Cruz hugged him and said, "I didn't fully realize that by asking you about our finances multiple times per day, every day, that I was causing you pain. I realize now I had a subconscious belief that it was your fault we lost that money. Now I understand there were so many factors, including the market, which was out of our control. I'm so sorry." These kinds of breakthroughs continued as Mr. and Mrs. Cruz began to view their actions toward each other as habits that were programmed inside their subconscious mind, as stories they strengthened every time they told themselves those stories. With Katie guiding them, they were able to write another story in which chewing, folding, and hobbies caused laughter instead of anger, and where deep appreciation could be felt deeply and expressed safely. The third step to mental freedom. As you now know, mental freedom begins in the mind, the subconscious mind. We've worked our way backward from the most obvious and outward manifestation of our subconscious programming, our actions, to the more subtle representation of our subconscious programming, our thoughts. Now we've reached the source, the beliefs, habits, and emotions themselves. I hope that by this point, knowing that you have the power and ability to shift, form, and influence your subconscious mind brings a smile to your face. You are infinitely powerful. Since you've been following along with the recordings as you listen, I know you've already begun to experience profound and positive shifts in your life. This chapter will take all of that to the next level. We learned in step one that taking responsibility for your actions gives you the power to make lasting change. You must have the desire to create change before any change will ever occur. Step two is to take responsibility for your negative thoughts so that you can immediately replace them with positive thoughts. Now we've reached step three, where you'll learn to recondition your subconscious beliefs so that they match your positive thinking. This is when lasting changes happen, and this is what makes hypnosis one of the most, if not the most, powerful tool available to us for personal change. All of our conditioned behaviors are stored in the subconscious, yet very few people know how to access and change the subconscious. The truth is that your conscious and subconscious thoughts have to be aligned to create the life of your dreams. Once this happens, real lasting change is possible. How do you know if your subconscious thoughts are in alignment with what you want consciously? It's simple. If you don't have what you want, your subconscious thoughts aren't in alignment with what you want. They're in alignment with what you were conditioned to think. Once our subconscious beliefs match our new and improved conscious thoughts, we feel a great deal of peace. Unrest, doubt, and nervousness can melt away because the false thoughts that produce them have been replaced by the truth. Of course, this doesn't mean it will never rain again, or that a person with horrible subconscious programming won't run for political office, or that someone we love won't face a tremendous challenge. The outside world continues to operate exactly as it always has, but you're far better equipped to handle it all when your conscious and subconscious minds are congruent and clear on what they want. When the vision is unified, there's a great deal of clarity about what to do. Before you learn to reprogram your subconscious mind, you might have an idea of what it would be like to live the amazing life you desire. But inside, you just continue to hope that it will happen someday without actually knowing how to make it happen. Most people don't see the gap that needs to be filled between where they are and where they want to be. I'd like to suggest that you forget hoping, which might sound counterintuitive, and instead align your conscious desires with your subconscious beliefs. Then you can start doing. Even better, you can start being that congruent, balanced, peaceful, clear person. Why positive thinking alone doesn't work. The number one reason why personal transformation often doesn't last is that nearly everyone is trying to make subconscious change from conscious efforts. As I've said, it simply can't happen. Plenty of people on a conscious level have bought into the idea of the law of attraction, believing that our thoughts attract whatever we're thinking about. Plenty of people are careful not to complain out loud or to indulge in negative thinking, yet they're still exhibiting conditioned behaviors that don't contribute to living the life they desire. This is my favorite analogy about the difference between the conscious and subconscious mind, so I've referenced it more than once. Imagine the conscious mind as a bouncer, and the subconscious mind as the people inside an exclusive club. The conscious mind's only job is to not let any new thoughts, habits, or beliefs into the subconscious that don't match what's already in there. If there are negative thoughts, more negative thoughts can get through, but positive thoughts won't be allowed in. It isn't the bouncer's job to determine whether these thoughts are helpful or will improve the joint, but only whether they match or not. Affirmations alone, which act only on the conscious mind, are like taking a battering ram to the door of the club, and after thousands of repetitions, finally making a breakthrough and settling down at the bar. Hypnosis is like slipping the bouncer $100 so that the new thoughts can easily and effortlessly slip through the door and make themselves comfortable. Neuroscience and thoughts. Sigmund Freud made the discussion of the subconscious and the unconscious mind mainstream in modern psychology. He used the analogy of an iceberg. The tiny part we see above the water is the conscious mind, and that massive structure underneath the water is the unconscious, the structure upon which the tiny consciousness sits. Every single belief we have is running constantly below the surface in the subconscious. Every time we have a negative thought, it makes the neural pathway stronger, thicker, and deeper. Eventually, the thought can go from being a dirt path to becoming like a 16-lane highway that's deeply embedded in the neural network of the brain. For example, when you learn to drive a car, it's a very conscious effort at first. But after a few months, the pattern becomes so embedded in the brain that driving becomes subconscious. In other words, it becomes automatic. It's something that runs in the background while we talk to people in the car with us, daydream, or sing along with the radio. When negative thoughts become subconscious or operate as an automatic program that runs in the background while we live our life, they impact our perceptions, interpretations, language, actions, and emotions. Unless we identify and weed out the subconscious negative programming, we find ourselves constantly struggling with negative conditions. The difficulty is that because subconscious programming is happening silently in the background, we can't see it taking place. More often than not, we accept these programs as truth and make them a part of our identity. Now, remember, in the beginning, every single subconscious program was once nothing more than a seed of an idea cast in our direction. Eventually, these seeds grow into big, beautiful flowers or trees if they're congruent with the life we desire. Or they grow into thick, ugly, thorny weeds if they keep us from aligning with our highest self. While we aren't consciously aware of these programs, the subconscious and all of its programs can be observed when we deepen our awareness. As we discussed in the chapter on the science behind hypnosis, brain waves are produced by synchronized electrical pulses from masses of neurons communicating with one another. Brain waves are detected using sensors placed on the scalp. They're categorized into bandwidths so as to describe their functions, and they're measured in hertz, cycles per second. For a quick review, beta brain waves occur when we're awake, alert, and at our normal waking state of consciousness. They run the spectrum of 15 to 30 hertz. Next come alpha brainwaves, when we're relaxed, calm, creative, and perhaps doing some visualization work. They run the spectrum of 9 to 14 hertz. Theta brainwaves are deep relaxation, when we're in meditation, a wonderful state for problem solving. They run the spectrum of 4 to 8 hertz. Delta, the deepest brainwaves, when deep, dreamless sleep takes place, run from 1 to 3 hertz. The subconscious can be accessed and observed when we deepen our awareness of the mind to low alpha, any range of theta, and high delta brainwaves, anywhere from 8 to 3 hertz. Once you deepen your mental awareness to these levels, you can observe how these core programs running beneath the surface dictate your perceptions, interpretations, actions, and everyday living. As we've discussed, below the age of 7, human beings are pure subconscious. We're all little subconscious sponges in full-time alpha or theta brainwave mode, running around picking up these seeds of beliefs from everyone and everything around us. But we don't just pick up words. We pick up opinions, behaviors, energies, color interpretations, feelings, gestures, beliefs, everything. We also interpret what we observe based on 7-year-old or less understanding, which is, of course, limited. For example, if a 5-year-old hears her parents arguing, her subconscious absorbs the following information. The people who take care of me argue and fight. No matter how many times they tell her verbally that they are sorry, she had to see them yell and that it isn't nice to yell, arguing and fighting